their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado, this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. We really appreciate all of our listeners.
Both of those. Yeah.
We both of our listeners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What do we have on deck today, Rick?
Well, we're going to be talking about changing systems or adding another system.
Switching.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Why multiple systems? We're talking camera systems.
Yeah.
Might be of interest.
Or not.
Cool. Why would you want to do that?
Madness.
Mostly.
Sheer madness.
You won the lotto and now you need to do something, right?
Yeah.
Creative ways to spend money and delay.
You got too much money.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but on a serious note, I mean, people talk about this kind of, this has been like an internet discussion board topic for you. I'm going to switch systems, right? But I mean, are there reasons why you might want to do it?
Could be.
And what might that be?
Well, all right. So let's talk about the more serious reasons, because those are the best.
Right.
As opposed to just the plain stupid ones.
The knee-jerk reactions,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like you're angry because one thing happened and you decided to square off, whatever. At any rate, sometimes, well, this is a really good example. Everyone that we know seems to be getting older.
Right.
The alternative is a bad one. It's better to get older. But as you get older, the amount of stuff that you want to carry around and be encumbered with is typically less.
Okay.
And, you know, I certainly know multiple people that have switched just to lighten up the load.
Okay, and so like downsizing, but mm-hmm. not downsizing the amount of gear, although that might be part of it. But downsizing the form factor of their gear.
Yeah, especially.
Okay.
And it could be that they're also backing off of certain kinds of photography that really required certain systems. Wildlife photography is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't need something that's a 600 f4, there are other alternatives out there. And, you know, some of the smaller, lighter systems, Micro Four Thirds, APS-C, you know, versus a full-frame camera, mm-hmm. you know, that might help.
Right.
Most of the differences in system weights and sizes are not so much in the bodies until you get into medium format, you know, especially with mirrorless stuff. It's in the lenses.
True.
You know, so if someone is really trying to extend the time that they're able to go out and photograph by reducing weight and size, that's a great reason to do something, if that's where you're really at.
Mm-hmm.
Like fortunately, we can still schlep stuff, but even we've been complaining on occasion about heavy stuff. And
sure. No, and it's funny that you mentioned that with the, because usually when you're talking about downsizing, most people bring that up in the context of mirrorless, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't downsize from a Nikon, you know, D800 or D850 to a Nikon D3000 type of camera.
Not typically. Yeah.
No. But it's funny how the body size of those cameras are all very similar.
Mm-hmm.
The Sony, the Nikon, the Fuji. You know, my X-T1 is not really much smaller than the Nikon Z7. Body.
Right.
The viewfinder's a little, you know, protrudes a little less, but that's about it.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times when companies have made bodies that were noticeably smaller, then there was eventually a bit of a backlash because people just found them slightly awkward to use. It didn't fit their hands as well or
right.
a variety of things. So if you look at a lot of the companies that went pretty small, the sizes have crept up over the mm-hmm. last few years. Grips are bigger, bodies are a little bit wider and thicker. There's a little bit more room to grab onto.
Well, ergonomics is still a pretty strong driving
yeah.
factor in things. So then, really, then the difference becomes the sensor format, mm-hmm. Right? Because you've got these bodies that are all about the same, but the lens sizes are vastly different.
Yeah, they can be very, very different.
And most of the weight you'll find is in your glass, not in your camera body.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference between downsizing from a Nikon to a Fuji is substantial, but not crazy. If, especially if you're shooting a DX Nikon or mm-hmm. a DX Canon, you know, or a, what, APS-C
mm-hmm.
type of format. But switching down, switching to from a either a 35 millimeter or APS-C sensor to a Micro Four Thirds system can be a huge savings in weight.
Yeah, some of the little primes that Olympus and Panasonic have, they're just tiny, and they weigh almost nothing, and you can carry three primes for the size and weight of one full-frame prime that's equivalent.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's you know, there's easy ways to do this, and you know, switching can be hard. It can be easy. It can be bite the bullet and just buy another system, or transition to that system. We'll talk more about that. The other reason for switching systems, and this is what you'll sometimes see in the pro arena, is if there's a condition or a situation where every now and then does a technology from one manufacturer really leapfrog, you know, just make a quantum leap in some aspect of performance that's important to you. It could be frame rate or autofocus systems. It could be, and we saw that in film days, you know,
right.
Between Nikon and Canon.
It could be the flash system.
Right. It could be
sensor resolution or dynamic range.
Exactly, the sensor, you know, because honestly, I mean, my opinion, and I tell this to my clients, but the image quality is pretty darn good just about across the board.
Yeah.
There have been some significant improvements. But in those cases, you really have to ask yourself, is investing in another, is switching to another system a good idea?
Yeah.
Because invariably it involves you when we're talking about switching, we're talking about, yeah, I'm going to get rid of my Nikon stuff and switch to Sony or whatever. I mean, just yeah. Insert a manufacturer, make something up here. If you're switching something comparable, you're generally going to be taking a loss on selling your equipment.
Yeah. Well, good example. When you and I were up in Crested Butte in the middle of the summer for the wildlife workshop, we ran into a guy who was shooting with Sonys, and he really did not like the way the camera handled and was kind of interested in what we were using. But the advice that both of us gave him is, you know, unless you're really upset with it, stick with what you have. It's not bad stuff. It's good stuff.
Right.
And it will change over time. Sony will add new bodies. They'll be a little bit different. They might be closer to, you know, what you're looking for. Patience is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, that's what they did. And they did come out right. with something that's a little bit more ergonomic.
So if you're looking to switch, though, there's some certain things. I mean, you mentioned this. I mean, if you're going to switch systems, before you've decided that the grass is really greener on that side, it's a good idea to test the equipment. I mean, just seeing someone's photo on a gallery and seeing, wow, and they used a such and such camera for this, therefore, I must have that camera.
And the real answer is they might be damn good at Lightroom and Photoshop and Capture One and whatever, and that's
just
really
how, right.
what made
and
the
they
difference.
Know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Ansel Adams say the most important accessory for your camera is the one 10 inches behind the viewfinder back in the day?
Yeah.
But you had a good, when we were talking about this, you had a good idea, which was maybe you can rent the camera.
Right.
A lot of, you know, we have access to rentals now far easier in the world of the internet.
It is so easy. It is so easy.
And it's not expensive to rent something for a week.
Especially if it's going to keep you from potentially shelling out thousands of dollars or pounds or euro in a system that you really don't ultimately need.
Right, because it's never the price of the camera. It's all the stuff that goes, it's the lenses and everything you have to
buy. And the money that you've kind of lost and what you're having to sell. And
right. The cost of switching is pretty inconvenient for most people. I mean, there has to be a really strong reason, you know, where you can say, this camera allows me to get the shots that I need. Or, you know, need is a relative term, but you know, let's just say that there's something out there that truly has superior autofocus for bird photography or something like that. Then yeah, maybe you want that. Because if you're making your living or that's what brings you joy, then sure. You know, that's the kind of thing where if it makes a difference like that, because it really doesn't. Another thing you can do is certainly look for, when you go to purchase stuff, look for things that are used.
Yeah.
Or even better, look for things that are refurbished, often by the manufacturer.
Those are a really good deal.
They really are. I've purchased several lenses and even a camera body from Nikon USA's refurb. They come with usually a 90-day warranty, which is long enough to figure out if there's something wrong with it. But they come in great condition. They're factory tested. I mean,
yeah, most of the time they don't look like they were even used. I've heard of exceptions. It's never happened to me, and I've, you know, purchased things that way too. They usually look completely new.
I bought a D850 refurbished. It had like two clicks on the counter.
Wow.
Meaning they tested it.
Yeah.
To see that it worked.
Sometimes these are things that are used in shows and they just sit on a counter.
Right. It would be in a display case somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's something that someone returned.
Yeah.
Just didn't want it. So it goes back, it gets cleaned up. It was returned in that 10-day period. It wasn't really used at all.
Yeah.
And they fix it up. So it's all good. So that's something to do.
The only advice I would give there is, if you get refurb stuff, be sure to check it out quickly.
Right.
You don't want to have that 90-day warranty expire on you and then figure out there was this hidden thing that you didn't see.
True.
So, you know, give it a thorough checkout.
Absolutely.
A little bit more thorough than you would a brand new item.
So switching really isn't a path that most of us take. I mean, you and I have never switched systems.
I've added.
But that's what I was going to say. But adding systems might be something that people would consider. And when you're adding a system, why would you want to add a system?
For me...
Not just because you have copious amounts of money lying around, you know, whatever.
Yeah. For me, it can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different. Sometimes the experience can be quite different. And it's kind of interesting to stir up your head a little bit at times. Sometimes it is because you're getting something different, like a small compact size or differing resolution that you feel like is important.
Well, yeah.
You know, those are some of the things. Usually in my case, it's been a matter of wanting something that was easy to travel with.
Right.
When I didn't want to lug a lot of stuff.
When we talk about systems for a minute,
uh-huh.
You can't talk about systems without talking about the sensor format, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that's really where these differences, we mentioned it earlier, but the differences really come in with the kinds of sensor sizes that you have. Because that drives all of the, you know, not just image quality, but it drives the sizes of the lenses and the associated accessories and stuff that you might be traveling with in your kit. So for example, I have a client who has a phase one,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I think 100 megapixels,
mm-hmm.
and he's probably listening right now. So hi, but anyway, it's a big camera. It's an amazing camera, but he has the camera because he will use it most often for doing studio work. Of certain things where he is, you know, doing photographs of a studio, of art, you know, things like that, product photography, where high resolution, high dynamic range files are not only really important, but also he doesn't have to travel with the kit, although he has for landscapes. But more often than not, what you see is then you'll have your standard kit. I like to use this for this kind of photography. But if I'm going to do some specialized thing, it's nice to have this, you know, because you're not going to carry around a phase one system to do travel photography.
Unless you're a masochist.
or you've got a Sherpa, or you've got, you know, if you're doing it for a magazine that they're carrying and you have assistance and it's a different equation. Yeah. Right? But most of us don't travel that way.
Nope.
So, you know, you might have a system that you use for something very particular and you mostly use something else. Like, I like the Nikon mirrorless. And even though they're both Nikons, the D850 is still my go-to wildlife camera.
Mm-hmm.
For now, you know, until it gets superseded. But I didn't get, you can almost think of that as having two systems. Right. I added the Nikon mirrorless system, even though it's the same brand.
Yeah.
But then also adding a small system.
Now, the good thing about the example that you gave of adding the Nikon mirrorless system is it wasn't hard to start using, right? It felt very familiar.
Right.
The menus looked
right.
Very similar. You kind of knew where to go for certain features and knew what they were.
Right. Some systems are easier to transition in and out of than others.
Yeah. And if you're jumping brands, it'll be a different experience. And, you know, a challenge with shooting multiple systems is that, you know, most of the time it may be pretty easy. And then all of a sudden you'll be trying to do something quick and you'll just absolutely forget something as simple as, how do I go from single shot to continuous shot advance? Right.
It's like mirror lockup of the brain.
Yeah, exactly. So. And it can be something really basic, and it certainly can be something more intricate too, but it can be a little bit difficult juggling multiple systems and paradigms in your head.
Right. And, you know, one thing that I've seen people do is transition systems. And that you can transition systems with the mirrorless is a little bit easier. So for some of the mirrorless cameras, you can use adapters to use your existing lenses on a mirrorless body. So I know a lot of people, for example, adopted Sony mirrorless, and they switched to that system, but they kept their Canon gear around because there was a Canon autofocus adapter. So you could use both, and then if you chose to transition, it made it easier. You could learn one while still having the other.
Mm-hmm.
But usually a second system, like I had a Fuji, which I still do have a Fuji, right? But I bought it because it was smaller. And I thought it would make a nice travel camera, and it still does. But it's now my infrared camera.
Yeah.
And I like it because it's smaller.
Yeah.
So sometimes having a second system, you just have to be really careful about and defining the boundaries, setting yourself some boundaries for how you intend to use that system. Because what you can sometimes end up doing is creating two parallel systems.
Yeah, where you have all the same equivalent lenses, more or less, and flash accessories, and God help you.
So set yourself some limits. I mean, if you're buying a Micro Four Thirds camera for travel, then get the travel lenses for it.
I'm going to write all this down on a note card that I can look at.
Yeah, because I think...
And it'll have no effect.
You may have violated that tenet.
I may have.
Of systems. But
I may have.
You know, there's nothing...
Perhaps the case.
Oh, no. There's nothing wrong with that, of course. But, you know, it can be a slippery slope. And it's a financial thing, too. I mean, just you start buying a bunch of lenses. And I started doing that. I was like, oh, I'm buying this lens and this lens. Wait a minute. You know, what do I really want to travel with? And the answer was, well, I like the quality I get out of my Nikon system. Therefore, I can do that. And then I don't have to learn two systems.
Right.
So anyway, hopefully you are not struggling with that. But if you are and you need some advice on systems or whatever, you want to ask us some questions, please check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors, because that's where you can leave us comments. We appreciate the nice comments more than the angry listeners, but you know, whatever. And do that for us. We really do appreciate you listening to us. If you're feeling generous, you might want to chip into our bandwidth fund, which there's a link to on my website, luminescentphoto.com. Just search for the Image Doctors podcast. We got them all there. Anything else you got for us today, Rick?
I think that's enough. And in that spirit, if people do have questions on specific systems that they're contemplating switching to, put them on Facebook.
Yeah, let us know, because maybe we can do some homework for you.
Yep.
Maybe we already own those systems. We'd be happy to help.
That's okay. Perhaps.
Yeah, well.
Likely.
Okay, then. With that in mind, okay. We will see you next time for another exciting episode of the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.